I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
So glad that you've joined us for Sunday morning worship. I hope you enjoyed the Bible Hour. I know that all of our teachers really enjoyed doing their part, and including Hannah and Tessa with their song leading. I know that everybody's enjoying seeing that youthful energy. That's always fun and exciting. So this morning we are getting ready to start our service. We have a couple of young ladies that have joined us to be our praise and worship team. And then, of course, John is going to play the piano and I'm going to do the preaching this morning. We are certainly looking forward to getting back to normal. I am so hopeful that's not going to be too far away. I was just on the phone with another pastor who we are all trying to put together plans on what changes and what adjustments we need to make. So I'm kind of reaching out to you as a church as well. I need all of you who are in ministry as far as Sunday school, junior church, Awana, nursery care, all of those things. I need you to be praying about what you want to continue to do and what you are willing to do. So be praying about it. We're going to be reaching out to you and talking to you. Let's open up this service with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you, and Lord, I do pray that you be with our worship hour, that it would be your Holy Spirit that empowers your word, that it would be that each and every song and each and every prayer would glorify and honor you. And Lord, we do miss our congregation, and I know as I talk to our church family, they miss coming together. And we are reaching out to you and asking that you would quickly bring to conclusion this whole matter. I pray that you would help them to find a cure for this, a vaccine, whatever it takes, Lord, we're lifting it up before you. Please give us wisdom in our communities and in our families, our church, that we would do that which is safe and that which would honor you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So we're going to turn it right over to these young ladies and John. And they're going to lead us. And when we all get to heaven, and grace alone.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the majesty
Having that ministry of song brought to us. And I hope at your home that it brings a blessing to you as well. As we get ready to go into the service, I do have just a couple of announcements, mainly prayer requests. Noreen's mom, Anne LeClaire, has been diagnosed with COVID-19. She's 82 years old. She is in the hospital. Please be in prayer for her. She received Christ during our revival this year. So pray for Anne, if you would. And then Holly Oak's mom, Anne Marie, she lives up in New Hampshire. She's got a lot of underlying health issues. She's also been diagnosed with COVID-19. So pray for Holly Oak's mom, if you would, please. And then continue to pray for Barb Fairbrother. They went in and they cleaned out some of that infection. And she is in the hospital. Pray for her. She's in a lot of pain. They are working on getting the infection cleared up. They're still saying she may be in the hospital for several more days. So pray for her if you would. And then we're grateful for those who have agreed to start already mowing grass here at the church. Henry Haskell was so gracious. He came, picked up the church mower, went through the whole thing, serviced it for the church. What a blessing. I was reading the things he did. He even polished it. I'm telling you what, you can't ask for somebody with a bigger servant's heart than to go ahead and wash down and polish the church mower. But we are ready. We've already done a little bit of mowing, but I think this week we're going to start seriously having to mow the grass. And so we're grateful for those who are on that rotation. If you want to be added to it, or the weed whacking, let us know. The flower beds, too. It's right here. It's right around the corner. We're going to have to plant all the flowers and getting things looking good. When you come back to worship, I am hoping that everything is looking sharp and the very best it can possibly be. It's our church. The Lord gave it to us. We together. So we want to take care of it and be ready to come back and worship one with another. All right, at this time, we're going to turn it right back over to these young ladies and John. They're going to lead us in Faith is the Victory before the throne of God. And Great is Thy Faithfulness was requested by D. Kip. Remember, if you would like to have a hymn or a praise song included in the service, give us a call, text us, email us, reach out to us in some way, and we'll add you to it. Now, we have had folks wonder if theirs ever got done. Well, you've got to watch all the services because we are putting them in different services. So, yes, we're going to do them all, but you have to pay attention to all the services in order to know when yours is done. So be sure and watch them. So let's turn it right back over to our praise team.
Strength.
Right. We have at this time a special that Brother John is going to sing for us. I know he's been practicing and looking forward to being a blessing to you and your family. And I'm going to sit right out here and enjoy it myself. I can't wait till we're all back together and we can enjoy these things together. Be praying for that to happen soon. Here's Brother John.
My song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Just when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you, you're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Thank you very much, Brother John. We appreciate that. And I would mention that tonight I'm going to be preaching on patience. So you might be sure and be a part of that service this evening. I think we all need to hear a little bit from the Word of God about being patient. Because, wow, this COVID-19, I think, is testing all of our patience, isn't it? But this morning, I'm going to take you to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And we're going to look at a young lady who is in captivity. Now, maybe you sitting at your house right now, maybe you feel like you are in captivity. Well, let's go and look at her situation in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 down through 14. The title of my message this morning is Our Small Voice of Great Faith. And that's exactly what this young lady is going to do. She is going to lift up her small voice and express her great faith even while she is yet in captivity. So look with me if you would. 2 Kings chapter 5 verses 1 down through 14. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive? Not this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, he was angry, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over this place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When we read this text, it's an amazing story of what transpired in the history of Israel. And when we look back into time and we look at those circumstances, maybe we can a little bit put ourselves in the place of this young maid. In fact, when you look at this verse where it references her, I want you to understand that the word that's used for her means that she's a preteen. She is a very young girl. She's been taken as a captive, and she is the handmaid of her mistress. And the mistress, well, her husband is Naaman. And as this maid day by day sees what's going on in this household, she's alarmed by the fact that Naaman has leprosy. Now, leprosy today is actually quite curable. They can give you medication and leprosy is quite controlled. But at that time in history, people really looked at leprosy as a death sentence. Today, we know that leprosy is really contagious through fluids. Mouth, nose, eyes, that kind of stuff. The bodily fluids. Kind of like this COVID-19. They say it's really contagious through our fluids. So that's why people are wearing masks and shields when they're dealing with folks like that. And that's why they're encouraging us when we go out into our communities to wear a mask so that we don't infect somebody else in case we have it and don't even know we have it. So here you find Naaman, he has leprosy, something feared by everybody. It's almost an amazing thing that he is still involved in leading an army and being involved in government. In the nation of Israel, he would not have been allowed to do that. He would have been cast out, for he would have been considered absolutely unclean. But when you look at the world map at that time, and even still today, you can see where Israel is in Syria up over to the right-hand side there. Well, Syria was the same thing back then, except considerably larger than what it is now. But as you look at this, you understand that Naaman was a very influential, powerful military man, and the king of Syria was concerned about him as well. So as we look in the text, we find that this little maid, as a captive in the world she's living in today, is going to speak out. You know, you and I are also strangers in a foreign land. Now, you may not feel like that. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I'm an American born, bred right here in America. And I agree with you. You are. But before I'm an American, I'm a Christian. And the Bible teaches us that you and I that are Christians, you and I that have put our faith and our trust in Christ, our home is not an earthly home. We are just passing through this land. In fact, we have a song that talks about that, that we are just sojourners, strangers, passing through the land. But we have a heavenly home. So when we look in the scriptures, we understand that we too are strangers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 says, "These all died in faith," talking about the patriarchs of old, the men and women of great faith in the past. It says they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see, even the old patriarchs, the men and women of days gone by who had great faith, they understood that as long as they were living upon this earth, they were not looking at this as their final home, but as their heavenly home being their final home. So we too are strangers. Maybe you at this moment even feel like a captive. Maybe you feel sad, hostile, fearful, confused, misunderstood by those even who may be around you. You may have some stress and contention in the house because you're all so close for so much time. But you know what? God is there with you. Just as the Lord is there with this little maid, this young girl who's been taken out of her home and thrust into somebody else's home, somebody else's environment. She is a slave. You know, one of the sad things is in the day and age we live today, we find that actually human trafficking, taking people as slaves, still goes on. It's a tragic and horrible thing. Buna Haas, our missionary in Cambodia, I was talking to him one time. He was talking about how that Cambodia has one of the highest rates in the world of young girls being taken and sold into the sex trades around the world. How horrific that must be. You and I that are in our homes today, you and I that are locked down because of COVID-19. Listen, we are tremendously blessed compared to others around the world. We are in comfortable homes. The vast majority of us have more than enough food. We have heat, lights. We're well cared for. We need to be thanking the Lord. But maybe right now you are feeling depressed, blue, discouraged, despondent, removed, like a captive. When you look in this text, you find that this little maid, she had great faith. And that's where you and I need to be. We need to be at that place of great faith, looking towards that heavenly home that God has for us. You know, Jesus told us, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, he said, I'd tell you. When we look into the scriptures, we find that the apostles wrote about that heavenly home. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. In fact, John the Beloved, he actually got to see it. Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 and 11, it says, and he carried me away. John says he was lifted up and taken in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. And it says, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending down out of heaven from God. Yes, the Lord has prepared a better place for you and I. This COVID-19 thing will pass, won't it? We know that it will. Certainly the pandemic of 1917, 1918, it passed. Society came back. People went back into their routines. And the vast majority of people forgot it and moved on in their lives. So also will this pass. And one day we will be back worshiping together, and you will be back on your jobs, and you will be back in school. This will be past. You will no longer be a captive. But while you are, and while I am, we need to be that still small voice crying out about great faith. And that's exactly what this young lady does. Look with me as you look back in our text of 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want you to listen to verse 3. This young maid, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. You see, this young lady did not let her circumstances defeat her faith. Now, she could have, couldn't she? She certainly could have been alarmed by Naaman's horrendous disease of leprosy, and she could have just hid and stayed away and only did what she was forced to do, trying to avoid exposing herself to Naaman, Naaman's wife, the household. But instead, she stepped up. She spoke out. And she wanted folks to know, hey, there is a God in heaven. And there is a great prophet in Israel who could address this disease that Naaman has. Now, she could have been too angry or bitter to share her faith. She could have been angry at her captors and said, well, they deserve everything they get. If he has leprosy, let him die an agonist death, and I'm happy for him to perish. She could have done that. She was taken out of her home from her family, and she's made a servant. She could be so angry, so bitter, that she wants them all to die. But her faith has made her a bigger person than that. We have to be very careful that we don't let our circumstances control us, damage us. She could have been so angry that she no longer believed in God. She could have said, well, if God went ahead and let me become a captive, if God let this happen in my life, then I don't want anything to do with Him anymore. And there are people like that, aren't there? There are people who when they get mad at God. She didn't do that. She mustered up her strength. I'm sure she was not happy that she was taken captive. I'm sure she was not at all happy with her life circumstance. She wasn't going to be able to live her life as she had lived it before. She wasn't going to be able to fall in love in her community and have her parents bring a wedding together and bear children and see grandparents and all of that involved with her kids. She wasn't going to see any of those things happen. But she wasn't going to let her anger and her disappointment prevent her from sharing her faith. You and I, whatever your circumstance is, where you are right now as you're listening to my voice, and I can't know your circumstance, but God does. In each of us, we have to muster up our faith, and we have to stand strong in our faith, and we must rest in our faith and find our strength in our Lord God. Just as this little maid had to do. She presented a clear and vocal testimony of her faith and what her God could do. So you see in the text, you see that the word gets out, doesn't it? This young girl, the word gets out that she says her God is great. And there is a prophet in Israel who is going to go ahead and intervene. And so her word passes from her mouth to the mistress, to her master, to the king. And from the king of Syria, all the way to the king of Israel. Oh, isn't it so bizarre the way the king of Israel responds? He says, what in the world? These people send me all this silver and all this gold and these change of raiments. And for you and I and the year 2020, we're thinking to ourselves, why is he sending them clothes? I mean, are you going to send a king a pair of slacks and a sweater? And well, back in that day, clothes were a real part of your wealth. Clothes were hard to make, and oftentimes they were made to represent and show wealth and even hold wealth. So, yeah. At that time in history, gold, silver, even garments were a tremendous gift. So he looks at this and he says, what's the deal? Is this a trick? How am I going to heal some guy of leprosy? And even that gets around, doesn't it? And it tells us the prophet Elisha, he hears this and he thinks, what? What am I, cut bait? What? The king's not even going to reach out to me. I'm the prophet of the land. So he sends a message to the king. He says, send that man over here. And the king does. He says, well, go see that prophet. And the prophet goes. And that's so interesting, too, because instead of Elisha telling him, you know, you need to do this amazing thing. You need to give me 400 million pieces of silver. A bunch of clothes. He doesn't do any of those things, does he? He simply says to him, I want you to go down to the Jordan. And I want you to go ahead and dip yourself in there and cleanse yourself. Well, this guy, he doesn't like that at all. For one thing, the Jordan, you know, for you and I in the United States, maybe we kind of get a vision of the Jordan as this amazing and beautiful flowing river. Well, the Jordan is smaller than Otter Creek coming out of Vergennes. So it's kind of interesting, and a lot of it is not clear and crystal. It's not exactly the most beautiful river. So Naaman says, what? I can go back to Syria. I can dip myself in rivers up there that are much better than anything Israel has. And it's interesting. It says that he leaves in a rage. Isn't that sometimes the way we respond when things aren't going our way? Naaman says, well, I thought that he would have me come out. And he'd come and he'd strike down and he'd do this big show. Sometimes that's how, if things don't go our way, we get mad, don't we? Certainly this COVID-19 thing has not gone my way. I will tell you right now, as the pastor of Victory Baptist Church, nowhere in my plan was it ever to go ahead and do ministry like this. And in your life, this COVID-19 thing was not on your radar. This was not a part of your plan either. But getting mad, stomping off, being hard to live with, it's not the answer. I find in the text, it's so wonderful that his servants say to him, and they call him Father. They say, Father, wouldn't you have been willing to do some great and mighty thing to get healed? And I'm sure he thinks to himself, well, that's true, I would have. And they said, well, what's the big deal? Go down and dip yourself in the river. Well, I guess, yeah, I suppose I could. And he does. And the text is so descriptive. It says that when he comes up out of the water, he has the skin of a child, of a baby. Man, I've baptized a number of people in the River Jordan over in Israel, and every time I come out, I'm still me. I mean, I'd love to come out of there and just have the physique and the body and the skin of back when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. Wow! I'd dip myself yearly in the Jordan for that. God did a miracle. And Naaman comes out of this cleansed from his leprosy, a horrific disease. All of that transpired because this young woman, this young girl, had great faith. And she was not afraid to speak of her great faith. She was not afraid to share her great faith. She was not afraid to live her great faith. A small little voice in captivity in the land of Syria. And she touches and changes lives because of her great faith. And so I want to challenge you where you are in your home, in your circumstances. You and I, all of us, we need to be people who use our small voice to proclaim great faith. Be an encouragement to others. There are people who need to hear from you. And to know that the Lord loves them, cares for them, and so don't you. We need to reach out and minister one to another. Do the work of the Lord, even as this young maid did. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of our service this morning. And I want to challenge you. If you've never received Christ into your heart and into your life, you can do that today. You can have the faith that this young maid had, that took her through horrific times and gave her strength and courage. All you need to do is turn from your sins. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ who paid for your sins. Ask Him to forgive you and receive Him into your heart and into your life, putting your faith and trust in the eternal life that He has offered to us all. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank You so much that we can come and look into Your holy word. And Lord, we thank You for this little maid. I'm sorry that she was taken from her home and her family and dragged off in captivity to the land of Syria, where she had to serve strangers. I'm sure it was heartbreaking and terrifying. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave us the record of her faith that touched and changed the lives of others around her. Help us to be inspired in honor of her faith and her sacrifice, her loss. Help us to step up in our small way, in our little part of the world. Help us to proclaim great faith. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. I pray for our circumstances with this COVID-19. I pray for your healing to come to our land and our globe soon. I also lift up to you all the boys and girls who, even in this day and age, like this little maid, have been taken into captivity. It's a horrific, horrific thing that still transpires today. Lord, I pray that you would bring those criminals to justice, that you would bring freedom to those children. Most of all, I pray you'd bring them to a place of faith and strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.